Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Get those dancing shoes on. We have got an amazing week. Sit down, sister. It's not worth your time. We got much more to do while we are in a prime. And there is still so much to do. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, available on Alexa, available in podcasts, whether it's iOS or it's Android, however you get your podcasts and you get your social media, we are here. We are the only radio station that looks at literally every area of health and advises you and educates you on how you can reclaim your health and maximize the life that you choose to live. How you doing? And this girl talk today is with man. Girl to man this week. So Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. This week, I'm really blessed to have spoken to a guy that I had seen his video on that went viral around health, Norman Thomas. He has spent the last 19 years studying natural health intensely and has healed himself and many others along the way without any pharmaceutical drugs. A real heart to heart. We're gonna have one or two or three bottles of wine. Okay, so before we get into the belly of the beast and have this wonderful talk with Norman Thomas, I wanted to start with my next unfiltered event. It's not until the 19th of next month, but it's not too late to book. So, and it's not too early to book either. I also want to say that you can watch it and tune in from wherever you are in the world. And next month, the 19th of July, unfiltered, let's talk about sex. After celibacy, childbirth, hysterectomy, menopause, trauma. Now, there is a full stop between S-E-X. It's S.E.X. And this is a really important conversation to be had. It is an opportunity to reclaim your intimacy, your confidence, and your feminine essence. It is a conversation that men are invited to because this impacts relationships. Personal, professional. So it's very important that, and intimate, so it's very important that the audience is across the board. And honestly, I think you will not be disappointed. So why S.E.X? It's because, you know me, I love an acrostic. It's because I am asking and I am sharing and I want to educate and highlight the changes that can happen to people after long periods of celibacy, especially if they've come out of a really long-term relationship or marriage breakdown or through divorce or widowhood, and then coming into and going through the menopause. Now, you obviously know that, you know, after a long-term relationship breakdown, there can be an exaggerated level of stress, death, exaggerated level of stress, financial hardship. There can be so many things that brings you to this point, and now you're getting ready to come out of it. You need to understand your sovereignty, your essence, and your expression. But you need to understand the biomechanical, biological, hormonal, nutritional changes that have happened in this period. You need to understand the impact, the stress of whatever may be going on in your life has on your sex and reproductive organs. So it's a conversation to be had. And for all my Christian women, because I've been told that maybe some Christians don't want to have this conversation, don't do yourself a disservice. I am a child of God. I am the daughter of a Most High. I'm a princess destined to be a queen. So I know what I am, and I know who I am, and I know who God says I am. I am not having a conversation about where you go, how you do it, and what you're doing. I'm having a conversation that really will empower you to make better choices before, during, and after. It's the same for childbirth. Natural childbirth without any medical intervention, a different story about returning to intimacy. Natural childbirth with intervention, a totally different story, depending on the intervention and the healing process. C-section, depending on the intervention and the healing process. The return to intimacy becomes a different story. Sovereignty, essence, expression, it comes down to it. What's happening? There are different types of hysterectomies. And so the experience is totally different. They've come into Harley Street. I've had these conversations with women that have kept their ovaries, and women that haven't kept their ovaries, women that have had their cervixes, and those that have lost their cervixes. And I'm telling you, when they're coming into my office and crying, it's a conversation we need to have. And menopause, your menopause experience may include some of these things I've just mentioned. And then, of course, let's not forget trauma. It's going to be a powerful, powerful night. It really is. So whether you book online and you watch it on the screen, or you watch it after, whether you watch it online or you watch it in person in central London, I implore you to come on. Go on to my Pelvic Secrets on Instagram and click the link in the bio. You can do the same, Jenny Russell, J-E-N-N-I, Russell, R-U-S-S for sugar, E-L-L. On LinkedIn and Facebook. You can click the link on LinkedIn as well and book your spot. Or you can send me an email, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. Papa Echo Lima Victor Indigo Charlie, Sierra Echo Charlie, Romeo Echo Tango Sierra. pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. So, sovereignty, literally, what do I mean by sovereignty? I'm talking about the opportunity to actually reclaim ownership of your body. Most of us, especially women of color, who are twice as likely, four times as likely to get and suffer from so many different chronic nutrition and lifestyle induced diseases, are also twice or four times as likely, least likely, to be proactive about a resolution. And so we suffer in silence and go when it's too late. But that means that we've given away our health, and now we're giving away that sovereignty, that ownership to medical intervention and whatever the medical people say. When you listen to what Norma has to share, you'll be like, okay, I can have it for myself. But your opportunity to have ownership over your body, its identity, and especially after experiences that may have left you feeling like you're out of control or you're too medicalized or you're emotionally disconnected. So this is an opportunity for you to redefine what intimacy means to you now. And that then allows that softness, that sensuality, that intuition, and that creativity of your feminine essence to flow. And also the expression, your ability to be able to speak freely, to be able to touch and to connect and be touched in your terms. These things make a big difference. So let's talk about sex after celibacy, childbirth, hysterectomy, menopause, trauma. It's going to be off the charts because it's a mix of science and humor sandwiched together in the most unusual fashion. And then all of a sudden, nothing is embarrassing and everything is important. There's nothing crass, there's nothing rude. I don't do that. But what I do is bring a level of humor that makes you go, did that heifer just curse me out? It makes you think about it. Oh my gosh, you know, how to keep your knickers dry, the adult thing to do. It's that you make it so you laugh, but it hits different. It hits different. And that's what we want to do. So let me just play a trail and go straight into Norman's interview because it was quite long. It was, I can never do a short interview. It was just a candid interview. But honestly, there will be much more talks. There'll be Instagram live. There's a journey to be had. And as you know already, with Johan's journey and how he healed himself from cancer, these stories, these anecdotal stories that people talk about, they're real life. You know, if you listen to what sometimes and you put your health into someone else's hands, you lose your sovereignty. But if you make a decision, it's all choices and consequences, choices and outcomes. You can decide the outcome. And it really starts with a conversation and then a decision. Let's play a trail. That makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And I have Norman Thomas. Norman Thomas, who will be 71 in November. He is a Scorpio like myself.
I think it's October. I think I've probably...
Okay, but what date in October?
25th.
He's a Scorpio like myself.
Exactly.
So I wasn't wrong, right? So, was born in Jamaica and came to the country on his 9th year. A month before his 18th birthday, he left the lower sixth form of his school and went for an interview at the Old Bailey Central Criminal Court and got a job working there. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about his journey through the criminal service, coming out of the criminal service, bearing in mind he left school without the relevant qualifications. We're going to let him give that little backstory.
That's right. Then
we're going to move into where he finds himself today and why he is an advocate for men's health. And why I love it is because, you know, I'm running these unfiltered events. And my next event in July is Let's Talk About Sex. And there's a full stop between each letter, because really that's about our sovereignty, our experience and our expression. And I'm talking about sex after childbirth, celibacy, hysterectomy, menopause and trauma. But in December, I'm blessed to have Norman being my guest speaker. And we're going to talk about sex after prostate and testicular issues. So Norman, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Glad we linked up. The universe made it possible. All things is possible with the universe.
100%, 100%. And if anyone doesn't believe in universal laws, I just said, who is this guy? I need him. I didn't say I want him. I said, I need him for my radio show. And you, I put it out into the universe.
Exactly. You put it into the universe. That is the important thing. Mm. That is synchronicity.
And here you
and
are.
Somehow the universe made it all happen. We don't understand how it works.
No, no. So I want to go straight into your story, right? I have to shut the window because if I leave the windows open, then I'll get all the cars going past. So I'm sitting here having a personal summer. So just excuse me. But anyway, so I want to so tell people, the listeners, about your story for the Old Bailey, because I think it's such a fascinating one.
Well, what happened, Jenny, I actually started to learn to drive when I was 16, even though I hadn't taken my test. I just started learning to drive at a private facility. And I used to play rugby at a reasonably high level. And when I was 16, I was playing for my school at in Wanstead. And I had a terrible injury. I dislocated my right hip, damaged my pelvis. It's a horrific injury. I was hospitalized in bed for almost 7 weeks. I couldn't walk. It took me a long time to walk properly again. So
was this
it
from
delayed
a tackle?
This from a tackle. Yeah, I thought I was about to try. I went for the try line. Somebody tackled me from behind. I went down and the whole leg came out, turned around, if you can imagine. It's a horrific, horrific accident. I was hospitalized a substantial amount of time, couldn't walk properly for a long time. So I was due to take my driving test, couldn't take it, cut a long story short, I took it afterwards. And I took my driving test in May 1972 and bought my first car in June 1972. So I then started hitting the party scene hard, even though I was still at school, was supposed to start my lower six. I then got involved with my friends playing three-card brag in the local park in Leighton. So when I went back to school in September to start the lower six, the headmaster said to me, "This is not working, is it, Mr. Thomas?" And I said, "Maybe not." So there, by mutual consent, I agreed to leave Leighton Senior High School for Boys. And I was sent to the Central Careers Office in London. And they sent me for an interview at the Central Criminal Court in Old Bailey. I turned up there because I used to buy my clothes in Carnaby Street at that time. You're much too young to remember this. I used to buy my clothes in Carnaby Street. So I was dressed like somebody out of one of those 70s movies, like Shaft. And I turned up at the Old Bailey in October 1972. The Old Bailey was like Buckingham Palace. People wore morning suits. I didn't see one other black face there. And it must have been a real shock to them, top chair system. But they offered me a job. So I think it was a few days before my 18th birthday, or a week before, I started working at the Old Bailey Central Criminal Court. I then knuckled down. My life just turned upside down. I started knuckling down. I then started studying. And yeah, I was progressing. And 2 years later, this is where the story gets even more crazy. 2 years later, I was sitting at home and I was reading the Waltham Forest Guardian. And I saw a post, 5 trainee clerk of the magistrates court for the Northeast London area. The interview was at the old Crown Court at Woodford. And I chipped up there. There must have been about, I don't know, 20 odd people on this for this interview. And the board that had interviewed us were like 20 white men and women. At that time, I wasn't a qualified lawyer. There were people already qualified lawyers. And I got one of the 5 trainee clerk in the magistrates courts in the Northeast London area. And I think at that time, amazing. I probably became one of the youngest black or white in the country doing that. And I then progressed my studies, subsequently qualified as a barrister and continued in the magistrates court service in the Northeast London area until such time I got out of that.
Wow. Wow. What a start. So you were always destined for greatness, right? So there's something in you that allows you to not see, there's no glass ceiling for you. There's no limit to what you can do. And I think that's a really beautiful story for people to recognize. It's like, you know, you didn't have a suit and tie on and,
nope.
You know.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And it works. There was a post I saw recently and it was, I think Stephen Bartlett may have been misquoted or quoted out of context. They were saying black guys are 22 shouldn't be wearing ties. It's not their authentic self. And there's a kind of like a backlash. And I think there's a plus and minus to it because I've got this little book my sister gave me, Quotes of Women. The quote says, if men say they're so smart, you know, men really believe they're the smartest people. Why do they keep wearing neckties? Because it's like tying a noose around your neck, right? It's like, but it's true. But the thing is we've got this uniform, haven't we, when it comes to certain jobs. You know, this is the way in which you dress for this. This is the court system has a whole uniform itself. So we fall into that uniform, but sometimes you have to break the mold. You know, I don't think it's right to tell people not to wear it. It's their choice, but sometimes you have to break the mold and you have to be confident in yourself. So what gave you that confidence? Because I think it sounds a crazy question, but I think it's important for people to realize, especially as a black man when you was young as well, with all the stuff that's going on, what made you just feel like?
Do you know, I think it's something innate in us that's come from the universe, because when I was growing up and I went to primary school, because my teachers would be absolutely shocked if they realized where I ended up. I don't think they expected me to achieve much at all.
Mm.
So I think it's something that's from the universe that we just can't put our hands on, but it's something built inside of us. As I said, I didn't come from a rich family. In Jamaica, I come from what is now the downtown Kingston, or the ghetto in Kingston.
Wow.
I can remember having one good pair of shoes, and that was a Sunday.
That's for church.
So that's,
yeah,
that's
my story.
And also, you know, don't forget, I didn't move around with people that had money. Most of my friends were black youngsters. A lot of them were on the wrong side of the law. And I had some really embarrassing situations. I remember when I was at Waltham Forest Magistrate School and I was sitting as a clerk of the court. I obviously hadn't read the charge sheet, and you could have 80 cases on your list that come up, whether it's a traffic court, criminal matter. I hadn't read the charge sheet. The dock opened, and I think it was 6 or 7 guys walked in for taking and driving away a car. They were all my mates.
Oh God!
So I had to remove myself from that particular case. But yeah, but wow. Having said that, the reason why I'm still friends to this day with all those guys, we're still very tight, because throughout all this time, and this is bonkers, I used to work at the Old Bailey from Monday to Friday, and then Friday night I would be raving at Four Aces Club in Dorston. Saturday night I'll be raving at some shubbeen at Chickens in Stoke Newington.
Oh my God.
Sunday night I would be at some other place. Monday morning I'm back at the big bad Old Bailey again.
Yeah, you live life to the full, mate. You did.
So I maintain my roots 199%. I've not
fantastic.
Moved away.
Fantastic. So that's a really good story. So let's move into, we've moved on from there. You said, you told me before we had this interview that you created a couple of entrepreneurial businesses and you had them and they failed.
Yeah.
But you have also 5 children. You've got 10 grandchildren.
That's great.
For all of the stuff that you was doing, because obviously you kind of burnt the candle at both ends and in the middle, was health something that you thought about, or what was the trigger to start to begin to realize that actually, you know what, the biggest asset I have is my health. The biggest investment I could make, the best investment I can make is into my health. What was the turnaround point?
Back in 2006, I was looking after my dear mother, who, you know, departed, I think it was 2007. Well, I was looking after her from before then. So I used to take her to hospital all the time. I knew all her doctors. She had chronic kidney disease, so she was under the direction of a kidney specialist and another specialist. So I used to look after her medication, and it got to a point where I moved in to look after her. And I used to think I was quite active. I used to go to the gym early in the mornings. And one day I went to the gym the previous night I was on my bike, my stationary bike at my mother's, because I used to have a room in the loft looking after her. I was on my stationary bike. I felt a twinge in the side, took no notice of it. Went to the gym in the morning, another twinge, took no notice of it. Went to mum's, made her breakfast, went to have a pee. I was peeing blood. Not great. I hung around, looked after mum till lunchtime, went to have another pee. I was peeing blood. I said, mum, listen, I've got to go to the hospital. I drove myself to Whipps Cross. I literally abandoned my car. I think it's a staff car. It's just at the front, abandoned it, got inside and sort of collapsed in it, basically. That's my starting point. My life was turned upside down overnight. There was no other warnings apart from that, apart from the twinge the previous night and the twinge the morning, going to pee in some blood. Consequently, I was hospitalized briefly, diagnosed with all kinds of things. I'd damaged kidney. My left kidney was only working 18%. The right one wasn't great either. Something we saw, I had enlarged prostate. Blood pressure was 200 over 100, stroke territory. It was not great. I was put on medication. I've taken no medication previously before in my life. I was put on medication. 1 month later, my wife took me back to the casualty on a Friday night because I was feeling so ill. And I saw this doctor and she said, Mr. Thomas, these medication will damage your kidneys. And my kidneys already damaged.
Oh, my God. So they gave, I know they don't look at what they're giving you, do they?
But it will protect your life. My wife dropped me back to my mum's and I went up to my room in a loft and it was like something overcame me. Something from the universe overcame me, directed me to go to my laptop. And I started researching stuff that can, because I had a chronic kidney infection that it just could not stop. So that's the first thing I started Googling. I came across a company called Native Remedies in Boca Raton, Florida. And it said it could solve any kidney infection within 3 days. Okay, got my card out, placed an order. That was on a Friday night. On the Monday, it was delivered to my my home in Chingford, not my mother's, and I started taking some drops. And within 2.5 days, the kidney infection that couldn't be cured had stopped. And from that night,
and it was called
nativeremedies.com. It's in Boca Raton, Florida, but this was like 2006. And from that night, I said, I'm not taking any more pharmaceutical medications whatsoever. Everyone thought I was crazy. My consultant nephrologist, my consultant urologist, my family, everyone thought I was bonkers. From that day, I've never taken one other pharmaceutical medication. I then embarked on a long, long journey over the past, 19 years of studying and researching natural health, which has come up all sorts of things. I'm particularly interested in anti-aging. That's all kinds of things. Whether it's diabetes.
Well, you don't look like 71. That's all I know. And I know I don't look like sassy, sexy 62. So I'm not worried. It is a thing. And I think, sorry to cut you, but you know, like people that, like there's some stars that spend $2 million a year.
You're talking about Brian Johnson. That's another story.
Intravenous stuff. Okay. But, you know, all this stuff to anti-age, but they ain't making, they're not learning anything.
Nope, absolutely not. And Brian Johnson, who you mentioned, he sold his company, and I think he sold his company for like over $800 million. And he allegedly spends $2 million a year. But what he doesn't say, and unless you inquire closely, he uses all kinds of things such as hair replacement, hair dyes, skin abrasion. So he's not really, it's all that money he's spending, he's not really doing much.
No, because they're not doing it the right way. And it, because of the outside in, because the whole thing about the whole walk for celebrities is they're not ready to not be relevant. And so they rely on their external appearance, but they forget that if they look after the internal world, it will give them the external appearance that they're chasing. It's not an outside-in job, it's an inside-out job.
Exactly. My one regret is that I didn't learn enough in time to help my dear mum, who passed away. You know, so that's my one regret.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like with my mum here. You know, I'm one of six. My brother's here as well now. You know, and we do things and we do it collectively, but we still do things in different ways. And I've been a nutrition and lifestyle coach since 2006 as well. So my regret is when I first qualified that I didn't come here and say to my mum, what are you doing? What are you taking? I didn't really pay attention to what she was doing.
Right.
Because I just got my qualifications. I wasn't living at home. I came and go and I didn't really, really, really dig into what is my mum taking. I remember one time years ago, I saw like, you know, she was like taking 28 tablets a day. Then I was like, what are you doing? We need to change this. But the whole, you know, even with that thing they gave everybody, you know, even this morning, I watched another video on Instagram, a heart surgeon who's saying that, you know, before this pandemic, he only ever had two patients that he saw with myocarditis, right? But all put themselves with that, you know, like, this is going to save my life. You are the disease. You are like, I honestly, I'll say this one thing. I used to hang off the words of Michelle and Barack Obama. I liked what they had to say. I liked her demeanor. But the day I heard her say, if you haven't had the vaccine, don't come near me, I thought, you know what? I will never come near you. I took her book, dash it away. Not interested in anything you've got to say. Because for someone so educated, I could not believe you bought into that. But then I know you've been bought. You must have been bought. So you're part of, you know, Tony Blair got paid millions to say that it works. If it works, why do you have to pay somebody £33 million to advocate for something? If it works, you should just be the example.
What I did, I sent I made an audio clip, I think it was March 2020. And I made another audio clip after. And I said at the time, I said to all those who would listen, one, get your vitamin D level up to a certain point, which we know now. And in my talk I gave, we know from one of the studies in Israel, if your vitamin D levels was up to 75, which is rubbish, you would not die of COVID and your chances end up in ICU was pretty small. That's just 75. And I'm telling people to get to 200 nanomoles, which is another story. So I sent around a talk, one, how you could possibly protect yourself from it, but also how you could actually deal with it, because there's something called, we call it a vitamin D bomb, i.e. if you're feeling a little bit funny, you've got something coming on, hit yourself with anything between 50 and 150,000 IUs of vitamin D for 3 days, it will squash it. So that's the other thing I was saying to people. So not only just get your levels up, but if you do feel like you've come over it, knock it very hard and it will knock it out. Not many people listen.
Well, listen, if you can't hear, you feel. Now, I didn't know that one, but I do know that all through that, I created a group. I was working with 11 Black women and I created Empowering Lives. We started doing online cooking, 4-day rotations. We were detoxing, we were doing everything. And then I think it was in 21 or 22 when you were out and again, but you had to have your little passport and show you were clear. Mm. I had paid for Vivi B's Hastings Soul Weekend and I'd paid for myself and two of my friends. I mean, they paid me back, but I'd booked it and everything, right? And then the week before, I had my friends round on the Friday and I was like, you know, they were in my garden and I was a bit cold, you know. And then on Sunday, I was invited to my friend's barbecue. But I spent the whole time inside and I was really cold. And the Monday morning, I woke up, my friend said to me, I said, I ain't doing that test. I'm going tennis. I'm not doing that test. She said, Jenny, do it. I could not believe I caught it. I was like, wow. So that meant that weekend was the Hastings Soul Weekend. And I looked forward to all year. And they went and I couldn't go. But I actually overdosed on, like, you know, because, you know, you can't overdose not on vitamin C. So I was taking a lot of those energy C's, right? I know they've got other stuff in, but I just loved taking
Were you taking liposomal C or just straightforward ascorbic acid?
No, I think it might have been straightforward. I'm not actually, I can't remember. You know, the energy sachets.
Oh, it probably would have been possibly, you would have known because it'd been very expensive. If it's a liposomal, it would be expensive.
Yeah. So I just took like sort of 6 or 8 sachets of those a day. But I also, I only ate like low, well, I had just had my smoothies and stuff, my detox. But I also had at night the old Jamaican remedy, which was a shot of the overproof white rum, with a dash of lime, with a good dash of black pepper and the juice of half a lime. And it took me like 5 days, but, you know, it was gone. But I do feel, I do feel sometimes I still have residual a little bit. In the morning, sometimes I feel I've got a little bit of mucus in my throat. You know, once I've got rid of that little piece of mucus, then I'm fine for the day. But I've found that in the last year or so, it seems to be like it's dislodging itself. But
vitamin C is one of the strongest antioxidants you can come across. Now, I'm not sure if you've come across this case, but if you Google it, you'll come across it. It's a farmer in New Zealand, and he got the most terrible sepsis. He was literally in intensive care. They wanted to turn the machines off and they would not try intravenous vitamin C. His family smuggled in some of these same liposomal I'm talking about. And slowly it got him back to life to the point where they were forced to give him sufficient vitamin C.
But it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but the person who's really regarded as the father of vitamin C, and he got the Nobel Prize, was Linus Pauling. So if you ever, you know, look back at him. But vitamin C, so long as you take it to bowel tolerance, because the first time I came across the studies on vitamin C was a doctor, and he managed to cure his pneumonia within 48 hours.
Wow.
Every half an hour, he would take a particular dosage of vitamin C, on the half an hour, all the way around the clock. So vitamin C is one of the most powerful things that you can take.
And you do pee out the excess. So that's why I told a lot of my friends, because they're like, you've got to be careful. I'm like, be careful of what? Yeah, you know, it's water soluble. You will pee it out. It will not kill you. It will save your life.
I've fallen off a little bit, but I used to take all the time, regularly, probably between 8 and 10 grams per day, every day, 365 days a year. 8 wow. to 10 grams. That's 8,000 to whatever 1,000 I so I stuck a lot of vitamin C. But
yeah.
One last thing before we mention about the wonderful vaccine, I did a video when it was proposed that it was coming out, and I said to people, listen, this is my reason why I think it's just not going to work. One, we've had a flu vaccine. It was developed before, but probably commercially since about 1925, right? Has he ever solved the flu? No, because the virus are constantly replicating. It's impossible. So it's never going to work. And so it's proof.
Yeah. But anyway, let's not go down that road, because I've been there, done that. So then you've gone through all this stuff. You've got your kidneys back working. You're back on track and everything. By the way, we're going to have a break. Come back on the other side.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
This is going to be longer than my half an hour, yeah? So it's probably going to end up being 2 weeks. Okay, so we're back. So you've gone through, you've got your kidneys back working. But what, in terms of your prostate, so you said were you diagnosed with prostate cancer at the same time, or enlarged prostate?
No, I was.
You've never been diagnosed with prostate?
No, enlarged prostate.
Right. Okay. So you were told you had an enlarged prostate, because I also worked for a guy with enlarged prostate. So I'll talk to you first about yours, and I'll tell you what I did. And so when you found out you had an enlarged prostate, what did that worry you? What other symptoms did you have? And what was your primary reason for trying to shrink it?
Don't forget, I'm Googling kidney transplants and all kinds of madness. My blood pressure is 200 over 100. Stress territory. So enlarged prostate wasn't necessary. I just know all these things are there. And all I know is I'm going to use whatever God has given me to research to try and make myself better. And so that's what I've been doing. And it's taken a long time to actually study enough about the kidneys and how to try and reverse that. Study enough about maybe what is causing this blood pressure. And I could segue a little bit into that, because I went to Jamaica. I used to do business in Jamaica, and I took sick. Well, I wasn't feeling great in Jamaica. Went to see a Cuban doctor out there. And he said, Mr. Thomas, I'm not going to give you anything. I wouldn't take medication anyway. It's just I just went to see him. He said, when you get back to England, ask your doctor to find out why you've got the high blood pressure. I came back and I thought, you know something? These doctors are giving people high blood pressure tablets, whether it's ACE inhibitors, which works on a particular enzyme that the kidneys make, whether it's beta blockers to slow your heart down, whether it's diuretics to make you pee out more. And I thought, you know something? What natural supplements can I find that does the same thing? That's how I got me on the road to solving my high blood pressure. So same sort of thing. Okay, I've got enlarged prostate. What does that entail? What does that do? What can possibly, and I start doing my research. What do I come across? I start taking and trying various things. So for me, so basically So basically, whatever it's for me, whatever it's been, whether it's been high blood pressure, whether it's been chronic kidney disease, whether it's been an enlarged prostate, and other bits and pieces that's happened on the way, I've solved them. And in doing so, I've also advised other people and had success. I've had success with people who are clearly diabetic, you know.
My mum's so diabetic, as I said to you.
Yeah, so when people say to me that I've said to you, listen, it's a very, very tiny percentage of people who are insulin dependent to the point where their beta cells in their pancreas is knackered. So if the beta cells in a pancreas is knackered, possibly there's nothing to do. Having said that, there's some revolutionary work which has come out, I think it was in China, where they've used stem cells to replace beta cells in the pancreas. So even type 1 diabetes is now possibly to be able to get around. But for anybody else, you give me them, I'll take them on a desert island, and I'll get them non-diabetic in a short period of time.
Wow.
The problem is getting people to comply with what they need to do. That's what
they need to do. Well, listen, right? And I'm gonna have to wrap up in a moment. But this, in my book here, when I wrote it in 2013, I have a whole chapter on testicular cancer and prostate issues, right? And I call him my surrogate dad, Vasco. I don't know if you know Vasco Stevenson. He used to be a part of the prostate awareness charity. But he does a lot of work on this as well. So I think it's a bit older than you. But he does a lot of work around men's health. I'm very excited about actually, one, being connected. Two, not only that, what I forgot to say at the top of the show. It's not only did I say, I need this man on my show. The one we spoke 2 weeks ago, I was like, so what area do you live in? He's like, oh, I live in Enfield. I'm like, shut that's up. That's where I live. What do you mean? Same down the road to me as well. It's like, you know, everything was meant to be, because it's not even too far away. It's like a stone's throw from me, really. And this is quite funny because, like I said, I'm really driving to try and get Black women. I'm trying to get women to look after their health, but particularly to also appeal to the Black community, because I don't like the statistics where it's we're twice as likely to get from, we're four times as likely to. And then we are four times as likely or twice as likely to not be proactive enough to do something. So I think what I really like about you and when we've been speaking is that whatever got hold of you, I've always said this with cancers, there's two different types, people that die quickly and people that survive and come out the other side. The ones that die quickly just focus on what they've got till they're dead. The other ones go, I ain't ready to go nowhere, man. So I'm going to focus on, no, that's what they're telling me. Nah, not ready. And that's it's the mind. Once you make up your mind and you decide to do something, it's choices and consequences.
Well, listen, we obviously haven't got time now, but if people were to study, and I've studied spontaneous healing, it is mind-blowing how many people have cured themselves of all kinds of things, stage 4 cancers, using the mind, spontaneous healing. And before I forget, one very important thing, and I think it was a central tenet of my talk, which I sent you. If people, and particularly us Black people, can get our vitamin D levels to 200 nanograms per deciliter in the UK, because in America and other places, they use nanograms. And if we can take the said vitamin D daily, there's clearly evidence to show that it will protect us. It won't be 3 in 1 Black people dying of COVID. It won't be twice more diabetics. It won't be twice more prostate cancer. And one last thing before we go, I've just come across a study literally about a week ago, came out of America, I think it was the 30th, 31st of May. It concluded that those persons who took 2000 IUs, international units of vitamin D daily, which is a rubbish amount, over a period of 4 years, they will live at least 4 years longer because it lengthens their telomeres. Telomeres being the little shoelaces on the end of our DNA. So if nothing else, just for longevity, get your vitamin D level up, because we've had more and more evidence coming out about it now.
Plus, it will help you to absorb magnesium better. It will help your bone density. Yeah, it does exactly. help with your skin and your hair and your vitality. It helps with what little sex drive you may have left at this age. Exactly. It tells us so many things. Exactly. But you know what? We're going to do another interview. We're going to have to talk again because 100%. I'm going to have to go and check mum now.
We've not even scratched the surface.
This is why
I am earthing. Red light therapy.
I've got red light therapy for my face. Wonderful. I do red light therapy.
Exactly.
Earthing all the time. So, you know, get over this thing whereby the grass is dirty, you know. Get yourself out into the grass and earth yourself because the energy that goes, we're electric, we're energy. And so it's quite interesting, like I said, because I'm having this conversation. I had a Christian say to me, oh, that conversation. I'm like, well, hold on a second. There's lots of single women in the church. Right? Celibacy is a big thing. So they're moving and they're aging and they're moving into the menopause. There's a biological change that's happening to them internally. Before they meet their new husband and they get married, the relationship will be over because when they come return to intimacy, that's what's going to happen. That sovereignty and that experience, it's going to be a poor experience. There's different types of hysterectomy, which means there's different types of intimacy after hysterectomy. There's different types of menopause. There's different types of trauma. But I really want men to be able to attend this meeting as well as women. But I've got this feeling in my bones, Norman. I know that when we do this together in December, I honestly feel this will be the most sold out one of all. And because I have the opportunity to have the big projector screen, we can have up to 100 online all around the world, which means we can get the message globally about the health. And we've got from 6:30 till 10. So we've got time to have an interactive session that allows us to share information, people to ask questions, share some more people to ask questions and do some interactive stuff just before Christmas. But if they want to, I'm really going to beg, I'm saying this live, so I'm just putting him on the spot. Yeah. I'm going to try and get Norman to, I know he's going to Jamaica when I do the one in, September?
I think I'm going to be away in Jamaica in September. Yeah.
In September. But what I will try to do, and what I'd love to do is have you invite you to, even if you on screen or whatever in July, just to even just share a little snippet that people can get a little taste of, because this information you're sharing, it can apply to Black women too. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, I think I mentioned that in the post, breast cancer. All this is very important for Black women. If it's exactly the same, a cancer cell, what is a cancer cell? As I said, it's a cell that becomes dysregulated and starts to multiply out of control any part of the body. So it absolutely applies to Black women. That's just frustrating. Mm. You know, the instance of breast cancer.
Yeah. And I've got the friend. And also, the meridians.
I know we haven't got the time, but you mentioned it, mindset. And there's a gentleman I studied, Dr. Bruce Lipton. You may or may not have studied himself, but he mentioned the BRAC gene. The gene that Angelina Jolie actually removed her breast for.
And he said,
why is it that 50% of women only get breast cancer from that gene? And he puts it down to the mind and the epigenetics of that particular person. So it's all very interesting.
What can I say? But thank you, Norman. I had to cut the beginning of how I first met him, and that's such a great story. But I will share that at a later date, because it was really weird how we came together. Synchronicity is what we talked about. But if you want more information, then honestly, you can email me pelvicfloorsecrets@icloud.com. You can find me on Instagram, on TikTok, at Pelvic Secrets. You can also find me, I haven't even got the chance to ask him. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook, Jenny Russell and Pelvic Floor Secrets. You can order my book, Pelvic Floor Secrets, from jennyrussell.com. You can book the next Unfiltered, jennyrussell.com, or find me on Instagram or send me an email. But if you want to speak to Norman Thomas, because that's the bit I forgot to ask for, Norman Thomas, it's Norm Tom. That's N-O-R-M. THOM123@hotmail.com. I'll do it as I do it with the phonetic thing. November Oscar Romeo Mike, Tango Hotel Oscar Mike 123@hotmail.com. but I do hope you found this really useful and interesting. Norman is a wealth of information. And like I said, Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. But that whole person also has brothers and sons and husbands and fathers that they want to be able to optimize their health, because whatever they're struggling with, we will be impacted by it, because it will impact our stress levels and our emotions, and then we can end up storing it in our sex and reproductive organs. So this week, I hope you found this useful. And sorry about not being here last week. There's a lot going on, but it will not happen again. Until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe.